At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
Down to business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, with Brexit, fuel prices and global issues with supply chains, it's been a tricky time for people who transfer our goods around the country and indeed across our seas. So for this week's Industry Review, we're looking at the business of haulage and freight. I'm delighted to be joined by Paul Toner, Managing Director of Toner's Transport, James Quinn of James Quinn Transport, and Aidan Flynn is the CEO of the Freight Transport Association of Ireland. We're also joined on the line, put on your headphones there, folks, because we're joined on the line by Eugene Drennan. He's the former president of the Road Haulage Association. So you're all very welcome. Eugene, I'm going to start with you, because then I'll let you go. But I was hoping that maybe you might give us an overview as to how Irish haulage companies are faring right now. Let's start on a positive. There are more people employed in the haulage business than there are in farming across the country, I'm told. So surely it's a good business to be in.
Yes, Bobby, sure. And any times there are challenges, and these are challenging times in certain ways to hauliers, it is good for business. It's a good time to be in business, but costs are very high. We are suffering from the post-COVID syndrome of no appreciation for work and hard to get people to work. We're shortage of drivers, and we're riddled with regulations everywhere. And the costs are very high. You may have seen the SRI report during the week, Professor Peter Nunn. He was very definite to say that in any taxations or classifications for alternative fuels, that we should take cognizance of the supply chain and try and keep it at a low cost and try and keep the supply chain in good fettle for Ireland.
So if we take costs, Eugene, in most businesses, and it's not always possible, but you know, the costs are ultimately borne by the consumer. And we've seen, if we talk about the price of a 40-foot container coming from China or wherever it's coming from, you know, going from 8,000 up to 40,000. So is the consumer not paying here?
Consumers paying a certain amount of that, and definitely on the international side of containers coming or go, it's take it or leave it. But in some of those cases, when that happened, the diversity away from China, it lost a good bit of market share, and that has now gone back down to where it was before. But for us, for the last mile, either coming to this island or on this island, for us to get increases has been very, very difficult. And the layers of cost put on by the state here and by regulation has been disproportionate.
Okay. Well, okay, I'm going to go back to studio now and talk to our three guests, Paul Toner from Toner's Transport, James Quinn of James Quinn Transport, and Aidan Flynn, indeed, the CEO of the Freight Transport Association of Ireland. Aidan, I might start with you. How's the Freight Transport Association of Ireland different from the Irish Road Haulage Association?
Well, we're a representative trade association for the freight distribution logistics sector. So we have members in the national, international freight haulage section, but we also have own account members in the agri-food sector, retail distribution, international global supply chain.
Not to tell you your business, but would we not be better off with one organisation?
Well, look, we can all add value, I suppose, in different ways. We're very, very focused, I suppose, in terms of compliance, operational compliance, and professionalisation of the industry. So we talk the talk and walk the walk through our truck safe, van safe, passenger safe standards. But we're also participants in the Logistics Supply Chain Skills Group, which is chaired by the Department of Transport, with a key focus on solutions for the skill shortage. And some of the stuff that Eugene was mentioning there, of course, is massively important. But the biggest issue for our members is skill shortage issues.
Okay, well, let's have a look at that for a minute. Maybe we'll come back to that in a second, because I'd like the two lads maybe to introduce their businesses for us first, and then we'll look at the issues. So firstly to you, Paul,
yes,
a business that's four generations now, started by your great-grandparents.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about Toner's Transport, if you would.
Toner's Transport started back in 1900, the early 1900s in Dublin 8 in Newport Street, and with my grandparents, and my father took it over then and ran it from a horse and cart business to a truck business in the 50s. He started with good customers and it just grew from there, and I've been in the business now since I left school at 15, and it's a long haul.
Yeah, absolutely. And in terms of the sort of typical sectors that you operate in,
yes,
like who do you haul goods for predominantly?
Smurfit Kappa would be one of our largest customers. Dad formed a partnership with Smurfit back in the 50s, and we're very proud of that. And Gypsum Ireland, Gyprock Ireland.
So long-standing relationships going back generations.
Generations, absolutely.
Yeah, which is a wonderful, I suppose, testament to your business.
Yes,
and your customers, which is great. Absolutely. Okay, absolutely. Stay with us. I want to introduce an old friend of mine, James Quinn. Again, he's of the class of 78 of Castleknock College, as myself. And it's good to see you again, Jimmy.
And you're very welcome
to the programme.
Thank you.
Tell us a bit about James Quinn Transport.
Well, I basically do the stuff nobody else wants to be bothered with, to tell you the truth. If it won't fit in a container and you want to go to the far side of Europe, I'm your man.
Okay.
It's a very challenging business that excites me every day. Because we've tapped into the data centre business, and it's not appreciated at home just how important that the Irish companies in the construction sphere have migrated into Europe. I mean, we've been in every data centre in Europe. There's one of them up near the North Pole, up the Arctic Circle. There's Hamina in Finland. There was a couple. There's a big cluster in Frankfurt. There's a bunch of them in Paris. And Holland is where we got our big break from Eamon Malloy. It was RMI. It's now Silent Air.
So you've carved out a niche in the data centre. And what are you moving, if you don't mind me asking, between data centres?
Well, we actually shifted 150 loads of oversized concrete panels to one in Frankfurt, which is an ironic shipping concrete from O'Reilly's in Monaghan to Frankfurt. And we did the oversized bits, and we've a lot of very specialist equipment. And I have one trailer sitting out in Dublin waiting to go to Frankfurt tomorrow morning. And the piece on it is 16 metres long by 4 wide by 4 high, which is as big as you can move, really.
Wow.
At about 30 tonne in weight. So the planning on that is phenomenal, because we have to secure permits to get us really from door to door with escorts.
And you're also talking about high value, value parts,
yeah,
all that kind of stuff.
We also shift aero engines. We had one on a month ago, it was worth 25 million euro.
Stop.
So that's a big headache if you throw it over the hedge, but thankfully our record's
good. Let's go back to Aidan Flynn and talk about maybe some of the issues within the sector. And we'll start with the staff shortage. And you might explain maybe to us in layman's language, Aidan. So, obviously, you need a license to drive a truck, and there are various licenses in various jurisdictions, and there are various routes to getting licenses. So, you tell me there's a skills shortage. Firstly, how acute is that skill shortage?
Well, I suppose everything we need to do is go back and look on research and what's published there. And I suppose Forfos carried out a report in 2015, which was the first report in this country that looked at supply chain logistics, industry and jobs. And it was followed up with a 2018 Addressing Future Skills Needs report as helping us prepare for Brexit, which identified around 50,000 job shortages in the industry, with around 6,500 of those shortages in the driver space.
So, and again, I know, tell me how it works around. If I am from Romania or if I'm from Georgia and I have a truck license, is it valid here?
All European countries are valid to work here.
Okay.
So from an Irish perspective, we first look nationally and then we look at European-wide. So we've a market of 500 million to look. But there's an acute shortage all around Europe. So then there's a non-EU work permit for HGV driver licence on the general employment permit regime, which is very onerous. It's not really working that well. It's improved a little bit because you're not just looking at the permit piece, which works quite well, but you're actually looking at the licence exchange.
Okay.
And there's very limited exchange arrangements in place.
Okay.
Between Ireland.
So, Aidan, you're battling with government and bureaucracy and all that stuff. And in practical terms, Paul,
yes,
in terms of attracting and retaining drivers, how big is the problem?
It is. It's getting bigger again. It relaxed there for a few years, but we're fortunate in the sense we'd have 30 of our 40 drivers are with us 10 years plus, and they're really good people, good, loyal people. But
yeah,
there's a transient it's like a revolving door, the back end of it, that people are in and out.
Well, a couple of things. Like, it's probably a tough job. If you're hauling goods across Europe and you're the only guy on board, you have a pretty big responsibility in terms of getting what your cargo from A to B.
And, absolutely, yeah.
I suggest that you want people who A, know what they're doing, and people that you can rely on.
Absolutely.
Like when somebody is making a long haul trip from your yard to somewhere in Europe, they're pretty much on their own, are they?
Very much so. They're always supported by the team in the office. But thankfully now, from our business, we don't go to Europe. We are 32 county Ireland. And even that in itself throws up enough challenges. Jimmy is the man.
Aidan, but tell us, Jimmy, about that very fact. So Aidan is telling us there's a shortage of drivers on the ground in terms of attracting and retaining drivers. How challenging is it in terms of you running your business?
Yeah, it's very challenging, and you really have to be on top of your game as regards the equipment they have, the backup they have. I mean, we've got an office presence from 7 to 7 and the phone. There's somebody manning a phone around the clock. A lot of our stuff moves at night. We have to be on the road at night because of the traffic congestion issues and the width we're at. We'd be at that kind of stuff. But the biggest problem we have at the minute is actually Brexit-induced in the issue of getting round England. It's so difficult to transit England compared to what we used to do. I mean, imagine any business going back to work the way they used to do in the 90s.
Yeah.
I mean, when the single market came in, we went from having reams of paperwork. I was hauling food to Italy at the time, with health certs and invoices and T1s and documents and all kinds of stuff. And suddenly, on the 1st of January 92, it was free. If you had enough paperwork to get from a doctor to Newry, you could go to Athens.
Yeah.
And now we're back to square where we were at that
period. A very retrograde step.
And then, of course, if say, for instance, you were shipping this studio to Paris, everything has a 10-digit code. To make out the paperwork, you need a 10-digit code. So you've probably got 50 10-digit codes to work on.
Yeah.
So you form a list and you create a transit document, and if everything doesn't match up, it's a problem.
And Jimmy, does common sense never kind of prevail in these scenarios?
Common sense isn't as common as everyone thinks it is, Bobby.
No, I know that. But I just think that, you know, that you absolutely get overwhelmed with bureaucracy, with form filling, and eventually, you know, it finds its own level and people find a way at working it.
Yeah, well, Rosslare, in fairness, the direct shipping routes to Europe are partial solution. But there's a cost attached to it. I mean, if you're trying to get from Dublin to Hamburg, you don't need to be going by Cherbourg.
Yeah.
And, you know, in terms of flexibility, what you could zip through England, you know, you could leave, for instance, the Hook of Holland on the nighttime ferry and you'd be home in Dublin for your tea the following evening. Legally compliant, a short, zippy route across England. Nowadays, you have to pick everything in advance. You pick your route, and if you go to change the route, then that's a whole headache.
Yeah.
So it's not simple. You know, we thought when it came in first, they'd come up with a simple route that you'd appear in Holyhead and the guy would check the seal on the back of your container and stamp your paperwork, go to Dover and somebody else has stamped. I entered England, I left England, good luck. But it doesn't work like that.
Okay. There's me trying to simplify everything too much again. Aidan, let's look at some of the other issues maybe around the industry. What about, and I'm going to ask Paul about this specifically, but what about the move to greener fuels and again, the industry doing its part? Yeah. When we look at the challenges that we have around the whole green agenda.
Well, just before I get to that, Bobby, I want to really say we're the lead proposer for two apprenticeship programs, the logistics associate and the commercial driver apprenticeship program. And it's really important in terms of the work that we're doing as an industry to promote ourselves.
And this is a third level qualification
the HGV driver apprenticeship program is trying to focus on attracting younger people and women into the industry. And it's the first apprenticeship program of its kind.
I think that's a great initiative, I hope it's supported.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what we're all trying to do. And the Logistics Supply Chain Skills Group, I have to say, that collaborative approach is massively important in delivering solutions for our industry.
I'm going to ask...
The green agenda, right?
I'm going to ask Paul about the green agenda because I know he's doing something with his fleet. First of all, tell us about your fleet, Paul. How many trucks have you? And just give us a size of a sense of the scale of your business.
We're running about 42 trucks at the moment.
Right.
And we're just in the right in the process now of changing to HVO fuel.
Now, explain that to our listeners. So these are 42 trucks that are using diesel to get around the 32 counties of Ireland.
Yes.
And you're making a change to
HVO,
which is
hydrated vegetable oil.
So basically used cooking oil.
It comes from growing plants, but yes.
And I'm interested in that because my research tells me that it used to cost more than diesel, but now it costs less. And I want to ask you, in terms of the cost of transition.
Yes.
So for you to make the step with your 42 trucks, what's the process in changing that they're compatible?
There's no process because once your engine is deemed a Euro 6 engine, it's compatible with HVO and all of our fleet. And to be fair, most hauliers' fleets are Euro 6 now. So the haulage industry really wants to be green. We have no problem with
The obvious question I have for you then is, why isn't everybody doing this?
It's going to happen now.
Is it?
Yes. And the issue will be, we were just discussing before we come in, that will there be enough HVO?
So, and how much will it cost? Because I presume you don't have any crystal ball in terms of, it may be less than diesel at the moment.
Well, sorry, Paul, but just in terms of the HVO, Paul, that's the real challenge for it, because it's not ring fence for transport. So data centres are buying up millions of litres of HVO because it's long life lasting, so it can last 10 years in a tank. And there is challenges around the certification around it. So it's a transitionary fuel. So through the Climate Action Plan, we have a bit of a pathway. But I think what Paul said is industry is ambitious to change to alternatively fueled greener things. But I think government is challenged with keeping up with the pace of change and infrastructure and all the supports that are needed to make it cost beneficial for industry is where the focus needs to be.
So when will you be live on this, Paul?
If we can get enough fuel stations to have.
So am I right saying HVO. Circle K are putting infrastructure in that will make sure that obviously gives you a network.
It's all
across the country.
Yeah. So within a couple of months we'll be 100%. I would hope.
Right.
And as long as the pricing remains stable on HVO, that it's I believe the government have made a. And hats off that they've removed the carbon tax from HVO.
Okay, that's a very interesting development.
We've had carbon tax for years. I mean, some of the government think is absolutely nutty. I mean, the Greens, every time the Green minister comes on television to talk about transport, I feel like throwing a shoe at it because they're totally out of touch.
Yes.
I mean, in the last recession, I had to get off my backside and get out to work in Europe because we nearly went bust because the collapse of the economy nearly took us down as well.
Yeah.
And when I got off the boat in Holland, I was flabbergasted when I saw the Dutch, as usual, and we love the Dutch in the transport sector because they're innovative, they're open to change, they're progressive, they have pipelines, railways, trams, trucks, everything works in Holland seamlessly. And, the 40-foot trailers that we had in this country, the Dutch stuck a 20-foot on behind it. So they were moving 60-foot of freight around with the same tractor unit.
Wow.
So it's these kind of innovations, there's as much to be gained. I mean, even the Germans, for all their greenness, the Germans run the trucks that we had here in the early 80s, they're stuck at 40 ton gross.
Yes.
Some of my trucks would only have a 10 ton cargo limit in Europe because they're 30 ton empty. But you imagine Germany is a country that produces huge amounts of steel. So most of the standard, bog standard Arctics that are running around Germany are leaving 4 ton of payload behind for the sake of fitting an extra axle. So there's all this woolly thinking going on and they're not picking the low hanging fruit. I mean, the Swedes had 65 ton gross Arctics when my father bought his first Scania in 1972. And we couldn't get over how the Swedish trucks, the Volvos and the Scanias, were so well engineered compared to the British ones because they were operating at double the weights.
Yes.
So there's an awful lot of lazy thinking. And the other thing that we really ought to get over in this country is we produce a tenth of 1% of the world's carbon, according to a man I trust, Colin McCarthy. So we have our knickers in a wad over all these jumping these hurdles. And if we went carbon free tomorrow, carbon neutral, it's like throwing a bucket out behind a super tanker expecting to slow the world down.
Yeah.
You know, there's an awful lot of horse manure spoken about this project. We all have to be involved. Climate change has happened since we had the Ice Age.
Yeah.
So climate is always changing. So our ability to influence it, I often wonder, no matter how pure we are, how green we are, is open to question.
I think it's linking it in with the business strategic perspective, you know. So if you invest in eco-driver training, for instance, we do it, we're saving 3.2 litres per 100 kilometres, which is around $5,500 to cost for a business, which is around 10 tonnes of carbon per vehicle. So there's elements and ways of doing this, the type of stuff where there's a net benefit to the organisations as well.
Finally, I want to ask about the traffic congestion on the quays. And again, there was some a lot of debate in the last couple of weeks, and I see you all raising your eyes to heaven. But why are trucks going through the city centre when they, is it because they've nowhere else to go?
Yeah, but some trucks are actually delivering in the city centre, so they have to go in. There's no alternative. And most trucks use Dublin Port, the Port Tunnel. If they were all to go into the city centre, we'd be going nowhere. We're
Can
going
imagine
nowhere
if
anyway.
No Port Tunnel, what it'd be like.
Yeah. Well, that was a battle I fought long and hard with your old friend George Hook, and glad to see the surroundings are much more salubrious now than they were then, Bobby.
All right, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you to all of the hauliers today. Firstly, to Eugene Drennan, who spoke to us on the phone earlier, to James Quinn, to Paul Toner, and indeed to Aidan Flynn. Thanks for letting us into your world, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.